Chapter 1. Dorlcote Mill. The town of St. Ogg's on the River Floss is a busy, lively, flourishing place. Ships pass up and down the river, bringing coal and timber and taking away the delicious cheeses and fine woolen cloth produced in the town. It is one of those old, old towns that seem part of nature. Beyond its red roofs and great warehouses, the fields stretch green and fruitful to the horizon, and the River Floss hurries to meet the sea. People have lived here since Roman times, and the town bears the traces of its long history. The old hall was built by the Normans, and the ruined chapel is older still. This was the original chapel, dedicated to St. Og, the patron saint of the town. According to the legend, Og was a boatman who earned a modest living taking passengers across the River Floss. One stormy evening, he saw a poor, ragged woman with a child in her arms standing on the riverbank weeping. Og asked her why she wept, and she said that none of the boatmen would take her across the river because the weather was bad and she had no money. Og said to the woman, "I will take you across the river, if that is your heart's desire," and he took her across. When the woman stepped out of the boat on the other shore, her ragged clothes turned into flowing white robes, and her tired face became bright and beautiful, and light shone from her like the light of the moon. And she said, "Og, you are blessed, because you did not question the heart's desire. From now on, your boat will never be in danger from the storm, and if you set out to rescue drowning people, you will save their lives." And when the floods came, many were saved by Og and his blessed boat. When Og died, the boat floated down the river to the sea and was never seen again. But years later, in times of flood, people claimed to have seen Og in his boat, and with him the Virgin Mary, shining as bright as the moon. Standing today on the green bank of the River Floss, it is hard to imagine those distant times of floods and miracles. The sound of the river is low and placid as I walk along, but as I get closer to Dorlcote Mill, I hear the rush of the water booming. It makes me feel deaf and dreamy. I remember that stone bridge, those dripping willow trees, and the ducks diving head first into the water. I can see the mill wheel sending out its diamond jets of water. That little girl is watching it too. It is time she went home. The sky is getting dark and the air is cold, but inside the house the red light of the fire is waiting for her, and her parents, Mr. and Mrs. Tulliver, are sitting by the fire, talking to each other.
"What I want," said Mr. Tulliver, "is to give Tom a good education. I want to put him in a good school so that he can learn to read and write and speak well. The academy where he is now is all right for farmers' sons, but I want Tom to be a gentleman. Then he will be able to understand these terrible lawyers who give me so much trouble. He will be able to help me in my lawsuits."
Mr. Tulliver was speaking to his wife, a pretty blonde woman.
"Well, Mr. Tulliver,"
she replied,
"I suppose you were right. But shall I invite the aunts and uncles over so that you can ask them about it?"
"Bessie,"
said Mr. Tulliver angrily,
"you can invite your sisters and their husbands if you wish, but I don't need their advice about what to do with my own son."
"Why must you get so angry?"
asked Mrs. Tulliver.
"You never did like my family. My sister, Mrs. Glegg, blames me, but it's not my fault. I've always been proud of my family, and I'm glad that my children have such respectable uncles and aunts. If you must send Tom away to school, don't send him too far."
"Don't worry, Bessie. I've heard of a good school that's not too far away. But sometimes I think Tom hasn't got the kind of brain to be an educated man. He seems a bit slow. He takes after your family, Bessie."
"He certainly does,"
said Mrs. Tulliver, not noticing the insult.
"He has our blonde hair and blue eyes."
"It's unfortunate, though,"
said Mr. Tulliver,
"that the boy should take after his mother instead of the girl. The girl takes after my family. She's twice as clever as Tom. Too clever for a woman. It's no problem while she's little, but when she grows up, she'll have trouble finding a husband.
It is a problem while she's little, Mr. Tulliver, because it makes her naughty. She's always getting her clothes dirty, and I never know where she is.
Mrs. Tulliver went to the window.
Where is she now, by the way? It's almost tea time. Ah, there she is, walking by the water as usual. She'll fall in one day.
Mrs. Tulliver knocked on the window and beckoned to her daughter.
You say she's clever, but I think she's almost an idiot sometimes. If I send her upstairs to get something, she forgets what she has gone for. She just sits down in the sunshine by the window and starts singing to herself like an idiot, while I'm waiting for her downstairs. No one in my family ever did that sort of thing, thank God. And her skin is so brown that she looks like a gypsy. It's a pity I only have one daughter, and she is so strange.
Nonsense,
said Mr. Tulliver.
She's a good-looking girl, and she reads better than anyone else's children.
But her hair won't curl, and she won't stand still while I try to make it look nice.
Cut it off, then,
said Mr. Tulliver.
Cut it short.
Don't be ridiculous, Mr. Tulliver. She's 9 years old, too old to have short hair. Her cousin Lucy has such lovely curls, and her hair is always tidy. It's not fair that my sister Mrs. Dean should have such a pretty daughter. Lucy looks more like me than my own daughter does.
At that moment, Mrs. Tulliver's daughter came into the room.
Oh, Maggie,
said Mrs. Tulliver.
I told you to keep away from the water. You'll fall in and drown one day.
Maggie took off her hat, revealing the messy hair that so distressed her mother. Then she took her book and sat down on the floor by her father's feet to read it. With her shining black eyes and thick, dark hair, she looked like a wild pony.
What are you reading, Maggie?
Asked Mr. Tulliver.
It's called The History of the Devil by Mr. Daniel Defoe. It's a very interesting book, Father. Look at this picture. It's a terrible picture, isn't it? But I can't help looking at it. That old woman in the water is a witch. They put her in the water to find out whether she's a witch or not. If she drowns, they will know she was not a witch. But what good will that do her when she's dead? And this terrible man watching and laughing is really the devil.
Good Lord,
cried Mrs. Tulliver.
That's not the kind of book a little girl should be reading. Maggie, go and brush your hair. Then come down and do your sewing, as a little lady should.
But, Mother, I don't want to do my sewing,
said Maggie.
It's stupid work.
And, with her book under her arm, she walked out of the room. Mr. Tulliver laughed with delight.
What are you laughing at?
Asked Mrs. Tulliver.
You encourage her to be naughty. Then her aunts blame me for it.